thanks to the Online Trading Academy for sponsoring Right Way Traffic. Here it is. Gord Sparman, the acting director of SDOT, was addressing the bike paths that were to be 600,000 per mile. Wasn't that it? Then they turned out to be 12 million per mile.
I can't speak to what happened in the past. I assume it was not a con job.
Oh, no, I think it was 6 million a mile. Forgive me. Oh, sorry. So I saved you money. Thinks it was not a con job. What about the streetcar? This is insane. And this came out just now out of the Seattle Times breaking news. David Gutman. I'm just going to read this to you. The Seattle Department of Transportation ordered 10 new streetcars in the fall at a cost of $52 million, as it planned to link up the two existing streetcar lines with a new line along First Avenue through downtown. The new streetcars that Seattle ordered to expand the downtown streetcar system are heavier, longer, and wider than the streetcars the city now operates. And it's unclear if they'll work on the current track and fit in the maintenance barn.
As a city, we have no plan.
And where did this information come from? The office of...
Don't drop that dirk dirk. Hey, don't drop that dirk dirk.
I've been telling you, Jelly... Durka.
Jelly. Durka, Durka.
This streetcar is already slower than walking, even uphill. It already took the life of a woman. It already broke the femur of a police officer and grievously injured another person, as I recall. All the reasons to shut it down, but you've been waiting on this study to come out. Study that this independent review was supposed to be completed within 90 days. Still not completed. The cost to build this ridiculous project has risen from $200 million. It had been initially thought to be $150 million. Durkin's office, apparently they have the report. Durkin's office... I told you I got to wrap myself in a compression shirt. Durkin's office has declined to share the draft reports from KPMG.
Durka. Durka.
But rest assured, Gord Sparman with SDOT.
I can't speak to what happened in the past. I assume it was not a con job.
If you are a citizen of Seattle, you are getting... You're getting the treatment. And if you're a citizen of Magnolia and you're being told that you don't get to have a bridge to your home. No, that you don't get to have a bridge to your home. You know that Magnolia Bridge has to be replaced. The city's saying, we have no money to replace the bridge. You got $200 million to spend on a streetcar slower than walking that's already dead, that's killed a woman, rather. It's been broken for most of its time. Now, the 10 new cars they ordered, they don't know if they'll fit in the barn or on the tracks. Mike O'Brien, your thoughts?
As a city, we have no plan.
You've never said anything more true in your life. Now, on the heels of this, we get to the Seattle Aquarium. I love the Seattle Aquarium. I have some of the greatest parenting moments of my entire life at the Seattle Aquarium. I can, to this day, shut my eyes and guide myself through the Seattle Aquarium. I went there as a kid with my mom. I have the longest lasting memories of the aquarium. I like the aquarium. But A, can we dispense with people working for city agencies calling themselves CEOs? You're not a CEO. Pete Rogoff, Sound Transit, you're no CEO. You don't have to earn revenue. You don't have to deal with investors. You're a thief, Rogoff. You're a thief. Now, I don't know this guy, Bob Davidson, from the Seattle Aquarium. I have no idea. He might be a great guy. He sure as hell doesn't understand economics, though, and he's no CEO. That's a fact. the aquarium, having done a, what was it, $49 million, $42 million project a couple months ago, or no, was it last year? It's been in the past 2 years. They want another $100 million. The CEO, so-called, it just bugs me. He's not a CEO. The guy who runs Seattle Aquarium, Bob Davidson, talked about why they need this expansion.
As we look at the attendance year, about 45 days of the current year, we're at what we consider to be maximum capacity. And so if you came with your family to the aquarium on one of those days, it would be pretty tough.
Now, quick, you're a business owner. Okay, let's say that you are in the business. Oh, let's just say you're in business and you're selling out. So you run a hotel or you're running a restaurant and you're constantly full with too many people. Do you then go to people and say, give me money because I've got too many people coming to my store? Give me money because I've got too many people coming to my hotel. Now, you might. You might go to a venture capitalist or a bank and say, hey, can you give me some expansion money? I'd like to borrow some money to add on to my hotel or to expand my restaurant. But that's a bank. You pay that money back. What would be the other thing you could do? If you're suddenly blessed with too many customers, what's another thing you could do to raise money without going to a bank or, in this case, without going to taxpayers? It's called raising your rates. People love the aquarium. They're willing to pay to go there. They're willing to, you know, go past the heroin needles, past the human feces, past the street people who will bite your thumb off if you give them 20 rather than 40 bucks. They're willing to go down and risk their life, limb, and liberty to walk through the tents, through the human feces, through the needles, etc., to get down to the Seattle Aquarium and then turn over the money. I bet you they'd pay 10, 15, 20% more. What else do? You create VIP. You create suites. You create early visits. You don't have to stand in line. You create all these packages. I know they've got subscription packages. I used to have one. I got it through Microsoft. I loved it. But that's what you do. But that's not, it just simply doesn't enter into the thinking of guys like Bob Davidson, who wants to call himself a CEO of the aquarium. This isn't what CEOs do. Oh, this is hilarious. He says that there's demand for this.
There are huge demands, always huge demands. And if we decided to be paralyzed by not taking advantage of huge new opportunities for the city, we wouldn't have a symphony hall. We wouldn't have an opera house.
So Cairo7, who did this piece, and they did a great job on it, Cairo7.com, they need to have economists go with them to say, well, wait a minute, if there's demand, will people pay more? If there's demand, why not raise your subscription rates? Why not create a super exclusive subscription? Why does it need to be the taxpayer? Now, how can you get there? Eventually on a trolley car that is slower than walking uphill and has already killed a woman and it's brand new. Now, you know what is just so frustrating to me in this area? Is some of the smartest business people in the world work here. Some of the smartest nonprofit heads in the world work here. Some of the greatest business minds, investors work here. But somehow they can watch these things go on and they let it pass. It's laziness, it's arrogance, it's fear. Fear. There's a fear in the business community of coming out against these spendthrift con jobs.
I can't speak to what happened in the past. I assume it was not a con job.
It's a con job, Gorn. Plain and simple, it's a con job. But people are so afraid of being ostracized for questioning the left in this area. Even rich people, even billionaires, or at least 100 millionaires or half billionaires, they cower in fear at coming out against these people because then, you know what happens? Oh!
Well, if you're against the city council spending money, then you love Trump. That's what you secretly you're getting the thrill up your leg, and we all know it.
To the text line 800-465-8770. Todd, I rode that streetcar. Just about got killed myself. I'll tell you the story about it. Okay. Love that. All right, we'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. No, I don't love that you almost get killed. I love that you'll tell us the story. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show and ask an important question. Can the left successfully drive panic and outrage against two topics at one time. Plus, this guy, David Miner, big leftist agitator, helped ruin the city of Burien, pretending that there's mass white supremacy down there. Oh, yeah, five women accusing him of things, including rape. And yeah, Jimmy Mata, the mayor of Burien, apparently some guy tried to accost him, some lunatic, according to Mata. So the text line, 800-465-8770. Please leave your name on the text. Honestly, Todd, don't understand how the Seattle Aquarium is at full capacity. It's very lame compared to many of the aquariums I've been to in the U.S. I like the aquarium. I don't think it's lame. I've been to San Diego. I mean, that's preeminent. Hi, Todd, on the topic of Jimmy Mata attack, just for the record, it wasn't me, JJ and Beery. I didn't think it was JJ. Apparently, this guy's turned himself in. Jimmy Mata is the mayor in Burien, Washington, where he ran on a platform of pretending the town is owned by white supremacists. So I was skeptical when I heard the mayor say he was attacked, because I don't think Jimmy Mata is an honest man, and I don't think he has any interest in mayoring. But apparently, a guy's turned himself in. Look, Jimmy Mata is destroying Burien, but he does not deserve to be physically harmed or attacked, and it's sick. That people did this, according to the mayor. Now, I wouldn't be surprised at all to come back and find out that the guy turned himself in saying, I never attacked the mayor. I got in his face, I said things to him, but I didn't physically touch him because I don't trust Jimmy Mata, not at all. I don't think you should. Here's a big question for the left. I shared with you last hour the fact that a Wall Street Journal poll, in fact, Wall Street Journal NBC News poll, shows that the hysteria over Russia and Helsinki and the meeting with Putin has had zero effect, negative effect on the president. In fact, during this time, the president's approval ratings have gone up.
The president's approval rating is ticking up, not down. A brand new poll from NBC News and the Wall Street Journal, conducted before and after the Helsinki summit, shows the president approval rating at 45%. That is up 1 point from June.
So here's the question for the left. Can they drive outrage on more than three topics? No, I'm telling you, research will show you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get my former business partner to come on this program. And I want you to hear from him, a guy who used to do Snoop stuff for the NSA. He did. His tech has been used by the NSA. This guy's a fascinating guy. He has a patent on identifying you by your walk, your gait. Seriously. He has a patent on scanning a crowd of people. If he can see legs from the knee down for something like 12 steps, he can say, this is that person. Thank God he's on our side. Thank God he's left the spy world. Really, I think it's crazy. He will tell you that rage cannot last. Anger, resentment, it can last. But the other thing he'll tell you is it's very difficult to get people outraged about more than one thing. And the Democrats and their array of outrage. So you've got Helsinki falling flat. It's changing nobody's mind. The president's approval rating is going up. They're trying to reignite the Brett Kavanaugh outrage. They're trying to get people upset about this incredibly milquetoast, boring man because they see these numbers too. Their entire turnout methodology, and this is so fascinating, their entire turnout methodology is you watch, we're going to get Trump. You watch, when we take the House and we take the Senate, not only will we impeach these guys. I mean, they're talking to low-information voters. Look, if we take the House and the Senate, not only will we impeach Donald Trump, we will super-duper triple, pinky twist, double handshake with a thumb fly, impeach Trump, and then we'll triple impeach him. And if that ain't enough, we're going to go to the triple somersault backward with a single half twist impeachment of Mike Pence. And if it doesn't happen? If it doesn't happen, and it won't, unless they get some miracle, and they take the Senate and the House, and they take the Senate with 60 votes, it won't happen. It's going to be fascinating to watch the emotional response to this, because it could destroy them for the presidential cycle. But the other thing it could do is create outrage at them. And that could be scary. No, think. Bunch of people have been committing, crying into pillows, screaming to the sky, literally screaming to the sky. And it doesn't happen. But you said. You said Brett Kavanaugh. You said it would be Helsinki. Now you have Democrats like Phillippe Raines, who used to work for Hillary Clinton. Phillippe Raines was a guy who used to broker meetings with journalists by saying to them, you can have time with Hillary Clinton, a one-on-one, an expose, a sit-down, or you can travel with Secretary Clinton on her plane all around the world asking her questions if you will just tweet that Hillary's speech was strong and muscular. Those are the actual phrases. Strong and muscular. Those were her speeches, strong and muscular. Because they're trying to build Hillary up to go be a candidate. Strong and muscular. That was why Libya, strong and muscular. Ever wonder why she wanted the civil war in Libya? So she could say, I'm strong and I'm muscular. Look what we did. We got rid of the dictator of Libya. Gaddafi. We got rid of Gaddafi. I'm strong and muscular. So Phillippe Raines would say to the journalists, if you want Hillary, then you tweet out, man, her speech was strong and muscular. It's kind of Manchurian candidate, right? Kindest, most honest person I've ever seen. So this guy, Phillippe Raines, he's one of the organizers of the Occupy Lafayette Park protests outside the White House that are going on, is it every weekend? They go up and they clang pans, they stand on the street corner and they scream.
If anything united and fired up our founding fathers, it was their refusal to live under the control of a foreign power.
This is the same Democrat Party that wants judges consulting UN writings when they create rulings, that want them consulting foreign courts. They want judges saying, well, in England, they outlawed those toasters because the toast was too toasty. Oh, no, that was not England's decision. That was the European Union decision. I like it. Toast should not be too toasty. Damn it, we got the rainforest falling apart. The frogs, they're turning into these giant lizards like that thing from the movie where it stomped on Tokyo. That's from the super toasty toasters. Says so in the EU. They want them to consult the foreign courts. But, oh, we're being ruined by foreign influences. And they're trying outside of Lafayette Park to turn this on. So you got Kavanaugh, you got Helsinki, you got Trump is owned by Russia, you got the tape about grabbing women, which is still a terrible thing, President said. Got that. They're trying all these things to drive this outrage. Here's the question for them. If they don't win and they don't take 60 votes in the Senate and they cannot impeach the President of the United States, if those things don't come to pass, what's it like when the anger turns towards them? What's it like when people who've been pent up with rage and they believe that rage is going to be reduced, it's going to be quelled, it's going to be released, they're going to feel good when they finally get to kick Trump out of office? Do you think that rage surpasses and they go,
well, I mean, they sure tried real hard to do it?
Or does the rage turn on Chuckie Schumer and on Nancy Pelosi? And when I say rage, I don't mean upsetness or disquiet. I mean rage. And what does it manifest as? Remember, I talk on the show about building a monster you think you can control? That's what the left is doing. All right, we'll continue on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Since I made this surprise trip over the weekend, I decided to go back into the archives of the New York Times from way back in 2015. Cash flowed the Clinton Foundation amid Russian uranium deal. Why? Because the fact of the matter is the game is rigged. It's rigged. There's no way around it. The New York Times convicts itself in this very piece. So we'll get to that. So with this panic, new thing we're supposed to panic about is Trump stripping Brennan and Clapper, etc. ad nauseum of their security clearance. That's what we're supposed to panic about now. Now, in a normal world, I could say, yeah, it seems like revenge. It seems petty, and why do this? I mean, it's not like they're getting briefings. Except we don't know they're not getting briefings. See, right now, as I understand it, if you have security clearance, you can look at classified materials. So at least if someone is leaking stuff to Brennan, and they are, and if someone in the intelligence services is leaking stuff to Clapper, and they are, at least they have security clearance to look at the stuff that's been leaked to them. The leaker doesn't have permission to do that. But unless I misunderstand the law, if you've got security clearance, you're allowed to look at this stuff. But that might be my misunderstanding. But we're being told to panic about this. And this woman, Lisa Monaco, she, of course, is one of the parade of government employees who leaves the government and goes and gets paid huge money to look really good on TV, really sharp-looking, intelligent-looking, kind of a attractive presence on the TV. She'd been a principal deputy assistant attorney general in the Justice Department. She's talking about what the president wants to do, maybe strip people of their clearance.
I think it's very, very dangerous undermining of the intelligence community and almost the creation of an enemies list.
Okay, so I said in normal times, I could say, it seems kind of petty. These aren't normal times because they're not at all interested in pretending there's any normalcy in the Trump administration. Tax cuts, very Republican. Regulations slimming down, very Republican. Tough on Russia with sanctions, tough on Russia by attacking their mercenaries. Well, their mercenaries attacked us in Syria. We just happened to kill 200 or 300 or 400 of their mercenaries, Russian mercenaries in Syria. Very Republican. And we can argue about that interventionalism. I'm terribly sick of us fighting wars in the Middle East, terribly sick of it. There's normalcy all over. The abnormality, as they see it, are tweets and a refusal to read approved speeches approved by the Beltway elites. So it's not normal times. My point is this. The president stripping these people of their intelligence clearance is really a reasonable response to people who have used those clearances to favor his enemies and attack him. And that is so easily discernible. I mean, it's Tony Podesta, as Michael Caputo points out, who's getting a he's getting an immunity from Mueller.
Oh, it's completely disgusting, Tucker. I can't think of another word for it. This is very clearly partisan. Tony Podesta didn't just represent the Ukrainians and didn't register for them. He actually registered for Uranium One and Rosatom. He represented Sberbank, which is that's like representing directly Vladimir Putin.
Right. And he same thing Manafort did. Podesta gets immunity because the target is Trump. There was someone said the other day, and this is exactly right. They're not investigating a crime. They're investigating Trump. It's not constrained to a crime. There was no named crime. This is a broad-based, no holds barred, absolutely no walls investigation of Trump, period. So this caused me to go back into the archives of the New York Times. So how can I back stripping these guys of their intelligence classifications? Here's why. In a piece by the New York Times, April 23, 2015, a 30-page piece, cash flow to the Clinton Foundation amid Russian uranium deal, the New York Times painstakingly details who gave the Clintons money from Russia, how the timing related to getting the Uranium One deal done. They admit what you're told all the time by your friends on Facebook. The New York Times admits that the 20% of North American uranium ended up in Russian hands. They opened the article this way. Now, think if this is written about Trump. Remember, Trump is the Russia guy, right? Here's the opening line from Joe Becker and Mike McIntyre in the New York Times. The headline on the website, Pravda, trumpeted Vladimir V. Putin's latest coup. Its nationalistic fervor, recalling an era when its precursor served as the official mouthpiece of the Kremlin. Russian nuclear energy conquers the world. The article in January 2013 detailed how the Russian Atomic Energy Agency Rosatom had taken over a Canadian company with uranium mining stakes stretching from Central Asia to the American West. The detail made Rosatom one of the world's largest uranium producers and brought Mr. Putin closer to his goal of controlling much of the global uranium supply chain. So here they are saying massive PR win for Putin. Now remember, what did Trump say? Trump, he says he misspoke. I don't know. When he said that, oh, I don't see why it would be Russia. I don't see. We're told that's treason on its face. That's being a traitor on its face, right in front of our faces. And a PR win for Putin. That's it. Putin wins. Same thing with Kim Jong-un. That's it. Kim Jong-un wins because the president took a meeting. This is the Times then going into exposing the financial connections, quoting the Times. At the heart of the tale are silvermen, leaders of the Canadian mining industry who've been major donors to the charitable endeavors of former President Bill Clinton and his family. Members of that group built, financed, and eventually sold off a Russian company that would become known as Uranium One. And then they go through and name names. $3 million here, $31 million there, $45 million here, all headed over to the Clinton Foundation. They get further into this, like events that these guys help them run with huge stars in attendance. Tom Cruise, John Travolta, Robin Williams, at events that were financed by some of the monies from these Russians who were thrilled to be getting this uranium because it required Hillary Clinton to say yes. It required the entire arrangement of the White House to say yes, the entire leadership team to say yes. And they did. There's your collusion. Unreported. Wow, that was fast. Here we are. We've arrived at my favorite portion of the show. Your emails, social media posts, longer form communications with the show where you can expand upon your ideas and thoughts and questions and disagreements with me. You can just email me, therman@ktth.com, or Facebook, facebook.com/Todd Herman Show. You know, we do text messages throughout the show. We also do tweets throughout the show. Okay, so those are peppered in throughout the recipe of the show. This, though, is your section. So let me shut up and get to your words. Well, I can't do that because I have to read your words. We'll start off with a quick one, man. This could have been a tweet, but it's an email from Richard. I should have a gun safe to secure my guns or even trigger locks. Please explain why. Okay, Richard, I appreciate the note. So you don't want to have your gun secured. Okay. Well, that's not the government's business, in my opinion. I don't think that you could do that any more than force people to have their cars secured. It won't be your fault, Richard, if someone breaks into your house and steals your weapons. That'll be the fault of the burglar. If they take one of your firearms, and God forbid they go out and kill somebody, that's still not going to be your fault, right? It's going to be the fault of the burglar. I don't think you and I disagree thus far, right? But on a moral basis, here's my position. I would not forgive myself. Sorry, I wouldn't. If I didn't lock up my guns, knowing that in King County with heroin Dan Satterberg and smack daddy Dal Constantine, letting criminals walk away free and bringing drug dealers into our area and not just having homeless people, right? Homeless people, that happens. We're going to talk later with a guy who says he's an ex-Marine, right? Retired Marine. He's homeless right now. But he got in touch with us looking for work. He doesn't want a handout. But we got street people here breaking into houses. So, Richard, I would never forgive myself if one of my weapons ended up in the hands of someone who used it to kill an innocent person. Would you forgive yourself? Right? Maybe you would. Maybe you're different than me. I'm not saying that I'm better. But why do I think it's a must? Because we legal gun owners, we set the standard. We continue to be more safe in how we operate our weapons than how people operate their cars. And I love the fact that I can always point to the statistics that we gun owners, we get it. So it's the same thing as being gun safe, right, Richard, is having a gun safe or trigger locks. My opinion, maybe you and I differ on that, but I certainly don't think it's the government's job to support or to force you to do that. From Lacey K on email. Hey, Todd, I listened to your show on my way home from work and I appreciate your openness and transparency. Unfortunately, my child does not open to your, quote, version of the truth, her opinion. I struggle with how to combat her ideas and very leftist opinions. It bothers my spirit and makes me sad to know her upbringing is apparently worthless. What compelled me to write is she just posted an article about the walkaway thing was started by 4chan trolls or something ridiculous and fake like that from the Washington Post. Just wondered what you suggest. Thanks for the show. Hey, Kay, you know, thanks for the note. By the way, kids will rebel, won't they? It's probably just a state of rebellion right now. Why not just do this? Why not say, hey, do you want to talk to somebody who's met Brandon? The guy who started Walk Away? Why don't you just have her send me a note? And I'll send her the interview with Brandon and send it to her personally and say, hey, I've chatted with him. He's not a Russian. He's from Nebraska. He used to live in New York. He's a gay man. You can go back and look at his history. Now, is he going to go out and make money on this? I think he will. Is that going to harm the cause? Don't think so. Hasn't harmed Candace Owens' position. But one thought on your child. Kay, start installing leftism at home. Yeah, start installing it at home. You could think of ways to do that, right? Make your house more socialist. Start being dictatorial. Start telling her what she'll think. In fact, go through a 2-week challenge where you guys you create socialism at your home with you, since you're in charge, calling all the shots. Give some of her possessions to other people. Go through her phone if you allow her to have a phone, or your child, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, to have a phone. Redistribute some of the apps. In fact, why not redistribute everything that they hold dear? Just see how that works for a little while. It's just an experiment. Timothy from Shoreline. Hey, Todd, listening to you, Mark Levin, and others regarding the left, progressive liberals, and the Democrats, Democrats' drumbeating of Russian collusion and the reality of how the Russian aggression has always attempted to interfere with U.S. politics, I had to research something. Perestroika was a political platform developed by the then-Russian president Mikhail Gorbachev. This series of political and economic reforms were an attempt to improve the Soviet Union's economy in the 1980s. This is also at the time of the Reagan administration and the Reaganomics of the United States and our own economy. The social economic platform and propaganda were an attempt to provide changes to Russia. This ended up collapsing the Soviet Union in 1991. I believe we're seeing and have seen an influence of the socialistic propaganda platform of this type of fundamental change to America's social and economic and political areas. The increase of Marxist ideologues that are contradictive to the establishment of liberties and freedom espoused under the Constitution of the United States. The progressive liberals and left-leaning people with their democratic socialist ideals seem to forget that they are blaming President Trump and the Trump administration, and anyone who may disagree with the socialistic agenda and propagandistic doctrines. Really, those are very ideals, values, and beliefs they themselves despise. It's mere projection of their illusionary belief of an American version of perestroika that is collapsing out from underneath them. Great note, Timothy. You're absolutely right. Ask yourself, what would Putin, if he wanted to destroy the United States or cripple it? I don't know that he wants to destroy it as much as cripple it. What would he have us do? Become more like the old Soviet Union, more top-down, more control-based, in other words, more socialistic or more leftist, or have us really return to free markets and truly free markets and truly free trade? Would Putin have us develop a stronger military or weaken the one that we have? Would Putin have us have closed borders or open borders? If Putin wanted to destroy America, right, many of those policy things would go counter to what the president's doing, not mention to what Trump has done to Russia in the form of sanctions and military actions in Syria. Appreciate the note. Thanks very much. Mick from South Prairie. Hey, Todd, I'm always a day or two behind when I get my daily fix on the KTTH app when I'm driving my truck at night. You recently spent some time discussing the comments on CNN urging the, quote, shadow government and military to overthrow our lawfully elected president. I think it's worth noting that the people encouraging these disastrous ideas and the horrific civil unrest that would inevitably come with it are the same people who are the same people who think we don't need guns to protect our families. Give me liberty or give me death. Keep up the good fight. God bless. Hey, thanks, Mick. And hello in the truck. Yeah, they're calling for a coup. You know, I don't know about you. Well, I do know because you expressed it. But I went back and did some research. Coups, they're not that fun. You'd think they'd be real fun because they start with all that fun stuff about we're going to overthrow the government. And wow, freaky to learn. It actually turns out that people don't like coups and that it brings military responses and civil wars. It's bizarre that anybody anywhere thinks this is any form of good idea. Last note of the day from Hall of Fame member Adam from Coopville. Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Recently, it looks like President Trump has displayed qualities of Godzilla, as he only seems to grow the stronger the more the media fires at him. I still think he's more like Al Sienkiewicz, that's Rodney Dangerfield from the movie Caddyshack, and that Washington, D.C. is the Bushwood Country Club. From the perspective of irritating the elite establishment, this whole presidency is absolutely hilarious. Perhaps the White House press briefing rooms need to have some fainting couches. Each week, they seem to get a serious case of the vapors. Oh, Adam, I appreciate the note, your continued support of the show, and that's why you are a Hall of Fame member. All right, Todd, our show will continue on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. If you live in unincorporated King County, great news! You're going to be locking up your guns. Yep, no more Glock by your bedstand at night, because that's unsafe. I'll give you the details next.